beg an interest in your prayers as we stand before you this evening, and our desire is to praise and worship our Lord. Many things have been said that come to mind right now through this meeting, and one of the comments that was made, and I thought about it as it was made. The individual that came to the church and didn't understand all about the church, didn't understand all about the doctrines and all about the principles there, were you going to allow them to be baptized? Think about the man we call the Mad Gadarene. If you remember right, the Lord was over here and he crossed the sea, if I remember correctly, and this man came to him out of the tombs and met him as he was coming. This man was feared by all the people. He was a little bit different. And they were so afraid of him, they'd bind him with chains, and they'd hook him, and they'd take him, and they'd bind him, and they'd take him, and he'd break the chains, and they were just in terror of him. I don't know, as I know the whole situation of that man there, what all he had done or how he had been. But are we afraid of people that are different than us? Are we afraid of people that might be just a little bit strange? You know, when I was beginning to exercise and had opportunity to stand and to stand before people and talk to them, one time I tried to talk about raising children, and I knew just how to do it. You know, you spare the rod and you spoil the child. Later I found out that wasn't an exact quote in the scriptures. Dear sister came to me after I'd spent 25, 30 minutes about raising children. She said, "Sometime you'll have your own." And I did. And I've learned. And in the last 38 years that we've been married, I feel like I've learned a lot about children. I've seen children in Walmart that were out of control and thought, boy, if their mother just knew what to do with them. My kids call me up now and says, "Dad, we wouldn't have got by with that when we were at home." And I says, "I'm older and wiser." Consider the storm that's building out over the waters. And when it breaks loose, consider what happened here a few weeks ago. As I ate breakfast this morning and I was talking to a gentleman, and he said, "Oh, another day. Oh, we're tired." And I said, "Oh, big day yesterday, hon." I didn't have a clue what I was asking. He said, "Yeah, we worked the sun up until 9 o'clock last night." That man is volunteering over and more. And as I turned around and I saw all those kids with shirts on that said FEMA. You've got people in this community. I don't know what you felt. I wasn't in the storm. I didn't lose my house. I didn't lose my community or my school. I didn't lose a family member to that storm. But those people are giving their time to help you out. There's all kinds of people over there working. Some of them are different. Let's go back to the Gadarene. He met the Lord, and the Lord visited with him. And remember how it ends? He was in his right mind. He was in his right mind. had a sister come to me that has a son. They said, I'd like to talk to you about baptizing him. Do you have any objections? And I said, oh, no. She said, you know, if we baptize him, there's some people that won't like us. I said, I don't care. You see, this little boy doesn't talk. This little boy might stand up in the back of the church and say, oh, and then sit down. He watched me baptize two people, and his mother was going with him, showing him pictures. And she said, would you like to be baptized someday? The little boy said, yes. He hasn't spoken consistently, still doesn't. But he came up to the front of the church. And I said, have anything to say? So I told the church. And we baptized that little boy. Of course, at the time, we didn't have the baptistry prepared. And so it was 2 weeks before we could get everything arranged. But that young man came into church the next week. And Mom sat down back here and he walked straight to the front. And she was grabbing him and said, oh, not right now, not right now. Did we do wrong? I don't think so. I think that little boy has an answer of a good conscience towards God. Can he explain the scriptures to you? You know, I found out there's some scriptures I can't explain to you. I like it this way. And then somebody else says, but what about this scripture? And I said, but, you know, sometimes we have lots of questions and no answers. Solomon said, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. When God works in our life, when God gives us a hope, can we explain everything that's going on within our lives, within our hearts, within our minds? Appreciated what one of the brothers said, that he doesn't care what how you worship the Lord. And he said that, the thought came to me about the people coming to the Lord one time and says, you know, Lord, you know, we got some good friends over here, but they just don't quite agree with what we're saying. You know, they just don't quite see it the same way we do. And the Lord said, so what? And I know I'm paraphrasing this, and I hope I'm not getting way off track. But I want these kids to understand. The Lord said, or the Apostle Paul said, if they're preaching Christ, that's what matters. If they're teaching about the love of Christ, that's what matters. Has anybody ever asked you or said, if I believed what you believed, I'd have my fill? You know, I'd just do whatever I wanted. You know, that happened to the Apostle Paul, in my opinion. Romans chapter 3, he says, for what if some did not believe? Shall that make their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Is that going to affect God? Is God's arm shortened that he cannot reach down and touch? You know, I think it's over in Ephesians chapter 2. He says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. So who? When did we die? What do you mean dead? And you know, the people that have been taught all their lives, you know, we all have an advantage with our children because they know the rules of the house. When a child comes into our house, we'll generally sit down with them and we'll say, now then, look, we're glad to have you here. I'm talking about a foster child. But years ago, we'd always tell them, you listen to those three children over there because they know the rules of the house. And if they say, Dad really wouldn't like that, maybe you better understand that that might not be something you want to do here. You know, what's happened in your house and what happens in your house and your house and all over here, there's different rules there. And we get by with certain things in certain homes that aren't necessarily going to hurt somebody. But God set up some rules for us. And He's taught us those rules. Paul said, what if some did not believe? Shall that make the faith of God without effect? Yea, let God be true, but every man is liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and thou mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say then? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? God forbid. God will judge the world. You know, there is a way that seems right unto man. And we've been taught for years that there is a little life in us. We haven't. I trust we understand that we were dead in trespasses and in sins. But there's a group that is taught that there's a little spark there, and if you just will do X, Y, and Z, you can flame that fire and get it to come around. Let us consider Job for a second. Let's go down to the sixth verse of the first chapter of Job. And he says, now in those days when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came along with them. Has that ever been your case? You're here today, but who's sitting beside you? You know, boy, I sure wish I had this to do. Boy, I sure wish I had. Boy, if I wouldn't have had to drive all the way to Oklahoma City to be here. You know, how many things go through our mind? We wanted to come. We wanted to be here. But boy, there's something sitting right here nudging us that there's something else that we could be doing now. The people came in Job's time, and they were coming to call upon the Lord. And God said to Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? Now what does God say about Job? In the first verse of the first chapter of Job, he says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and eschewed evil. This was what God described of Job. What did Job think about Job? What did Job think about Job? Let's go and turn over to the 13th chapter of Job. And let's look at what he had to say then. Job, in the 13th chapter of Job, and I'll pick up in the middle of his thought, but he said, then thou wilt call and I will answer, or let me speak and answer me. How many are mine iniquities and my sins? To have an almighty God, we need a lost sinner. We don't need to have a lost sinner to have an almighty God, because He is almighty. And it doesn't matter what we think or what we say or what we believe. He'll have His way in the heavens and He'll be glorified. But what did Job think? Job said, "How many are mine iniquities and my sins? Make me to know my transgressions and my sins." My friends, I want us to consider, as we think about God, the reason we have a hope of God, the reason we have a hope of heaven, is because God has translated us from the nature's darkness and translated us into His dear kingdom. "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins, wherein in times past ye walked with all those other people that we look at now. And yea, even do so after we've been quickened." Heard some about the straight gate today. "And broad is the way." We go back and forth. Keep our affections upon the Lord. Peter on the ship, and the ship was tossed to and fro, and there's the Lord. He said, "Lord, if that be you, bid me to come to you." And he stepped over and started walking on the water. This is all right, isn't it? Hey, this is pretty cool. I'm walking on the water. And then he hears the storm is boisterous. And he starts to sink. Have we ever been there and done that? I know my thoughts have been scattered, but I want to leave you with this thought. Do we have an altar before the Lord? Do we have an altar that we present before the Lord? Think about Abraham and Isaac. You know, Abraham kind of laughed at God when he said, "Sarah's going to have a child." "Sarah's too old," and Sarah said, "I'm not going to have any children." And after he was born, the Lord said, "You did laugh." And they had to stop and go back and think, "Yeah, we did, didn't we?" But you know, that night that the Lord appeared unto Abraham, and he said, "You take thy son, thine only son Isaac," this was a different story. Abraham had seen some years of the Lord's work in his life. This time in the morning, he gets up and he gets Isaac and they start to go. And they take the servants with them and they go out here and they go about 3 days' journey. And Abraham says, "You wait here and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and we'll come again." I'm trying to make a picture of an altar for you all. Abraham's an old man. Isaac is a young man, strong enough to carry the wood and the fire and do the heavy work for Dad. I'm not saying Abraham didn't have anything in his hands. But when they got up to the place where they made the altar, what did Isaac say? "Here's the altar. Here's the fire, but where's the sacrifice?" You know, sometimes we like to say we have an altar that we prepare before God. But when the Lord lights the fire to that altar, what do we say? "Not me, Lord. I don't want to go through that." You turn over to the 10th chapter of Psalms and David said the same thing. He said, you know, consider the enemies out there. And why are you so far from helping me, Lord? Lord, why don't you hear my prayers? Why don't you help me out, Lord? Are we there? Comment was made today about praying for patience. And where do we get patience but from tribulation? What's tribulation? Tribulations is some of that fire that's laid to us when we're on the altar. My friends, let us keep our eyes to the hills from which cometh our help. Let's face each trial, knowing that the Lord's going to be with us in six troubles, and yea, in the seventh, He'll not forsake us.